I don't know if that's true of others of you. You had here, whilst Jan and I were away, a remembrance service was in the afternoon, which we saw the photographs of in the WhatsApp, which sounds like it was an amazing occasion. Candles were lit in memory of loved ones. And now in the last couple of days, we've had other kind of remembrance occasions, the 2-minute silence on Thursday, and I don't know if any of you watched it last night, the BBC at 9 o'clock, which I must admit we tend to do every year now. Very powerful sort of services or celebrations, whatever you would want to call it. And of course, now there is the Cenotaph down at in London. So many things happening. And this afternoon, for those of you who are able, there is at the Memorial Hall on High Street, there is another service which will be happening to remember those who were lost in World Wars in Downley too. That's at 3 o'clock. What I was thinking about today was just how important memory is, how both painful memory can be, but also how joyous it can be. It's the two sides of a coin, isn't it, really? But memory for me is so, so important. And as I think about memory, there is something for me about holding in balance the memory of somebody, perhaps somebody who's lost and the sadness you feel for that, but also remembering that the fact that one has to let go, that life does go on and we have to begin to live it and pick up pieces again. And of course, I guess in life there's a constant experience that we have of letting go and starting again. When you think of all the experiences we have in life, whether that's a new job or a particular time in life when you start school or when you change schools or even at the beginning of the school year when you change into a new class, you let go of something, a teacher, you get a new teacher. The same with jobs. You leave one job, you move into another job. And there are things which, perhaps as you look back, you're very glad to leave behind, but other things that are losses. And it's that tension between holding the losses and the pain sometimes that go with the losses, with the excitement and the new things that are there in the future. We had a reading from our gospel today. I always find it a fascinating reading. It's the reading for Remembrance Sunday, of the Gospel for Remembrance Sunday, where Jesus had warned of the destruction of the temple, which did happen in AD 70, and then the persecution of Christians that followed that and followed his death, but particularly following AD 70. And what he calls for, particularly in the writers of the Gospels, he just basically, and those writers, remember, were writing quite a number of years after Jesus' death. But basically, what they were reminded that he said was, stand firm and endure. Very easy to say, but that's what he was saying. Now, you have to realize that this, when he was talking about the temple, this for the Jew was at the heart and soul of who they were and still are, to be honest. So that temple was, the destroying of the temple was almost unthinkable for the Jew, and it would be destroying their very soul if that happened, which it did. Now, that strikes me as being very important for us today as we think about loss and death and destruction in the way that we experience it in war, but also experience through personal bereavement. The death of somebody we love can feel like this emptiness, darkness, that sense of where do I go now? What's this happening? What's actually happening around me? For others, the seeming dismantling of what we knew and trusted can be incredibly unsettling. Now, not just think, well, I mean, you can take that with a partner who dies or a close relative or a close friend. That person, yes, is there with you in spirit, but is no longer with you in the way that that person used to be. But you can take it in all sorts of other ways. The things that have happened to us over recent years have caused real unsettlement in everybody's minds and hearts. We only have to look at the COVID situation, the COVID-19, which has not gone away, has it? Still around, and what that caused. The unsettlement, the grief that caused. Grief through losing people, but the grief of losing just what we do day by day, how we normally would do things, how we think about things. I mean, constantly now you go out the door and you think, oh, have I got my mask? Yes, I've got my mask. You know, it's that kind of thing. Whereas before, have I got my phone? I mean, now it's almost that the mask is far more important than the phone, isn't it, really? But you know what I mean? There's just that sense of we're having to let go of something, or the pain of letting go of something that we knew that we had, and trying to deal with a very new and different situation. Mike mentioned this morning about climate change. Yes, we're thankful for that, but there's been some very stark reminders over the last couple of weeks, and before that, of people who have been saying, we've got to get a handle of this, we've got to do something about that. That also is incredibly unsettling if we allow ourselves to think through what are the consequences if we do nothing. Those are just a couple of things that remind us really of how, of the starkness, I guess, of loss and how we might deal with it. But there is hope. And this is what I want to end on today. There is hope. We've had hope, Mike, as Mike mentioned before, in terms of, let's hope nations of the world really do, don't regale on their promises, but actually do try to get their act together. That our rich countries actually do give the money to those who are developing in order that they can do the things that they need to do. Let's hope that that happens. But for our point of view as ordinary people here living in downlinnet surroundings, the hope is that we have each other, and that's one thing. So in the darkness and the unsettled times that there are at the moment, we have our family, we have our friends, we have also our faith community, that's us, we have each other. And I've noticed increasingly as Jen and I have become a little bit more involved with you over recent years, just how important that is for different people, how important it is. I'm admitting it now, it is for me, and I've kept the church for some time at quite arm's length through pain of stuff that's happened in the past, but we won't go into that. But you guys have been a help to me in trying to help me enjoy being part of local church community again. So we have the faith community. The writer to the Hebrews says this: let us not neglect meeting together as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So he's encouraging that a letter that was written some 70 or 80 years after Christ's death. I think those of you who have done more of your theology will correct me, but it's something around that. But that's a long time after Christ died, and they were going through really difficult times, those early Christian communities. And they said, don't neglect meeting together. So important that you do that. Then we have also our own personal faith, and this is another bit of hope. And that will, for many of you, will offer support and hope in the days ahead. And of course, we have this opportunity to meet together today around this table and share communion, remembering the death of Christ, remembering what he has done for us and how he sustains us day by day. That again brings the hope to us all. So I want to encourage you today. In a few moments, we'll come forward, we'll receive our communion, but come just as you are, with all your fears, with all your hopes, with all your vulnerabilities, and we all have them in different ways, all your aspirations, and open yourself to receive God's grace through the bread and the wine and through the blessing that God gives to us. And it's a reminder, really, we are not alone. On this Remembrance Sunday, despite all that's happening, we are not alone. We come forward together as a community. that supports and helps each other. Amen. We're going to sing our next hymn, which a very famous hymn for a day like this, Jerusalem, which is, we don't need the numbers because it comes on the screen. But,